Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have come around him, and we shall experience the benefits of being around him. Tonight, we shall quickly look at the enemies of the life of prayer. This may be part one because I believe we won't be able to sort all of it out tonight. Our objective is to understand the forces that attack the prayer life of a child of God. The forces that attack the prayer life of the child of God. Luke chapter 18 and in verse 1 said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The enemy knows the power and the potency of prayer. So he does everything possible to attack the prayer life of God's people. He knows the power. He knows the potency. What are the forces? What are the factors that hinder or attack prayer life? Number one, please ensure that the place is not a playground in terms of movement of children, please. Number one is the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1. The Bible said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and in verse 2. Scripture that we know. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalm 66 and in verse 18. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So sin or iniquity will do two things. Number one, boldness and confidence in prayer are attacked by iniquity, the life of sin. Boldness and confidence. There is the boldness with which you can approach God to start with. The boldness to approach. The boldness to communicate. Have you ever seen how timid somebody feels around you who thinks they have offended you? How unsure of whether if they greet you, you will answer. Because they know you know that they offended you. That's how it translates at the place of prayer. Even the enemy will speak to people and make them feel like, who do you think you are? Who will hear you? Who will listen to you? Boldness and confidence are attacked at the place of prayer. Number two, access to God is hindered. At the place of prayer is hindered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Access and audience. Access and audience with God. They are hindered. So a lot of sinful people are prayerless people. Very, very hard for you to see a drunkard wake up in the morning and say, I just blasted in tongues for 1 hour. Or you see a prostitute saying, I just finished my devotion and I felt the presence of God. Very, very rare, very hard, very difficult, literally impossible. Even when they come to church, they feel lost in the crowd. Well, let's do irrigation, let's pray in the spirit for 5 minutes, let's pray in the spirit for 10 minutes. They're just standing and watching and moping. They are lost because of their life. My counsel is twofold. Refuse to live the life of sin. And second, refuse to sleep with the guilt of sin. Don't live the life and don't sleep with it. If we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the guilt of sin. It's a major attacker of the prayer life. Number two is the spirit of discouragement. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It means ensure that you pray and don't get discouraged. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. He said, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One of the right things to do is to pray. Don't be tired of praying. Don't be tired of evangelism. Don't be tired of worship. Don't be tired of doing the right thing you know to do. Because there is harvest in due season. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Don't be tired of doing the right thing. Don't be tired of praying. Don't be tired of worshiping. Don't be tired of going to church. Psalm 42 verse 5 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you depressed? Why are you downcast? Cast down means downcast. Why are you disquieted? Why are you troubled? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When results delay in coming and prayer appear unanswered, most times people become prayerless. The devil whispers to them, all this while and years you are praying, what's the result? Just forget about it. Which is the lie of the devil. What do you do to handle despair, to handle discouragement at the place of prayer because results have not come, or because it appears as if God has not answered? What do we do? Number one, switch to praise for life and any other good thing you see in your life. Switch to praise. Forget about what you are asking God first. And just switch to thanksgiving. Switch to praise. The The psalmist said, why are you cast down? Why are you downcast? Why are you depressed? I will praise him. Psalm 42 verse 5 and 42 verse 11. Praise is a therapy. It's a treatment. For when the devil says God has not answered you concerning getting married. But you tell the devil, but I am alive. But I have a job. But I'm a professional. There are those who are not married and don't have a job and don't have where to sleep. Whenever the devil shows you what you lack, show him what you have. What you have in God. 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 It is not always totally bad. And even if it was totally bad means it's so bad that you don't live anymore. It came to the point where your life does not exist. It's a treatment. It's a therapy. Something is working. There was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There were thousands of people to be fed. Instead of focusing on what was lacking, Jesus took that 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave thanks on top of it. It was in that thanksgiving that the results multiply. Somebody say a loud amen. So, while your prayers is yet to be answered in one area or the other, look at the areas, find out those areas where you didn't even pray before you had answers. You don't even beg God. Yesterday we were here when that girl, I'm sure by now her oxygen saturation should have been perfectly normal now. Young girl that was brought in here, she's on oxygen cylinder. Right? 2 big cylinders. 2 big cylinders per day and a smaller one. And she breathes on the oxygen permanently. The tank. She can't take off that oxygen. She would be gone. They came here yesterday. Was she the one who told us the price of it? Or the one under? Her mother told us. The one tank is 180,000. 60,000 the other. How much per week were they using? That's her there. And I said, she was paying like how many thousand every week to breathe? That's how they came to church. And you breathe free of charge. She's coming now to ask God to give her the ability to breathe. That is not your prayer point. So there are things you look for. You identify things that are around you that you didn't even ask God before they are working. Itemize them. And just be liberal in your appreciation of them. And the things that have not worked will begin to work naturally. Because the scripture cannot be broken. Somebody say a loud amen. Number 2. Identify the testimonies of others in your area of expectation and use that to charge your faith. Charge your faith with the testimonies of others in the area of your expectation. Whatever you are trusting God for, God has done it for someone else already. And they testify about them all the time on this altar. In Luke chapter 1 verse 36 and verse 37, the angel was charging the faith of Elizabeth. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth is charging the faith of Mary. She has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Charge your faith. God does not fail, and he will not fail you. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Thirdly, maintain your normal relationship with God through the altar of prayer. Prayer is not just about request, it's about relationship. Maintain the relationship. When thou pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9. Maintain that father-daughter, father-son relationship. Let your prayer life remain. Just know that before you are asking for anything, you have a relationship with God first. Am I communicating? When we came to the Lord in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, nobody told us a prayer request. You were going to church not to ask even God for anything. You went to church because you loved God. You went to church. If in those earlier times, I can't remember in 1978, 79, whether there was a testimony line of, praise the Lord, I got a financial breakthrough. You just came to church. I don't care what church you belong to. In those days, interdenominational services. But as far as in Jesus is time, if by grace through faith you have been saved, you are my brother, then give me your hand. You are my sister, then give me your hand. So the kind of songs. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we shall hear the story how we overcome. We shall understand it better by and by. Those are the kind of songs. You sang like that, you prayed, you celebrated, you went back home. You returned back the next day. Maybe you went back home, maybe there was even a school fees problem. That was, it's not part of your focus. Your focus is God. Your focus was God. Am I communicating? So ensure that you service your prayer life first. Service your relationship with God. Let your relationship with God be in good, serviceable condition by your normal prayer life, your normal worship, your normal tonguing. And then when necessary, the request can follow. Fourthly, trust God to unveil to you actions that may lead to answers to prayer. Actions. There are times where what we need is not just, Lord, I want you to do this. But there are times where God wants you to do things. There are certain steps or actions you may be expected to put forth that are tied to your answers. Please sit down. In Luke chapter 5 verse 4, Jesus said, launch your net into the deep. Now, so he was telling him to do something. Peter made prayer and said, Master, I want to catch fish. Give me fish. He can pray that prayer from morning till night. There will be no answer. But launch your net into the deep for a drought. And when he had that done, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Somebody is asking God for financial breakthrough. And God is saying, you have challenged with financial integrity. I cannot give you the kind of money you are looking for because you are not truthful. You are not honest. I want you to change in this regard if you want me to
to release for you supplies. Somebody is asking God for marital breakthrough. And God is saying, if I allow you to marry the way you are, you will be divorced under 3 months. Because you have a character need I need to work on. So there are times we need to ask God, Lord, is there any action you need me to put forth? Is there something you want me to do that will facilitate the answer to the prayer I am praying? That will help the answer to what I'm praying. I can pray for you from now till tomorrow. But you carry sugar, you eat it direct. Mix Coke, Fanta with ice cream. Pour it in your mouth. And then he says there's blood sugar. He said, Pastor, I need a healing from this situation. He said, be healed. The Lord said, Amen. Everybody said, Amen. You go back home, you continue that life. I have a prophecy for you. The healing may not come. Because there is a lifestyle to change. There is a habit to change. I'm just using that as an example. Many years ago, Papa Oyedepo said, some people, it's not diabetes they have. It is diacookies. Coke. Diafantas. Do you understand what I'm saying? Dia ice creams. Am I communicating at all? So, Lord, what particular action? Is there something you expect me to do? I have seen situations where people have laid down sacrifice in addition to their praying. And we may look at some of these things by Sunday on the boosters, the things that will amplify our prayer effect. You trust God to unveil to you actions that may lead to answers, and then that will relieve you of discouragement and despair. Somebody say aloud, Amen. So the first thing that attacks our prayer life is the guilt of sin. Number two is the spirit of discouragement. Number three is lack of value. Put it like this, lack of spiritual priorities. It's a lack of value for the spiritual. Lack of spiritual priorities. Lack of value for the spiritual, semicolon. Lack of spiritual priorities. When God is not first in your life, prayer will not be your priority. When God is not first in your life, prayer cannot be a priority. When God is not first in anyone's life, prayerlessness abounds. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I was in medical school, two experiences will be of interest to you. I wake up like 5 a.m. and pray between 1 hour to 3 hours every morning before going to the class that starts by 8. Class is from 8 to 12. That's the first before break, 8 to 12. Then break is 12 to 1. I have prayed between 5 a.m. to that 8 a.m. By the time it is 12 to 1, I dodge to the back of the physiology lab to pray a little bit more or to study a little bit more before the break is over. And then the balance of the class continues from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. to 5 or 6 p.m. Right. This happens from January to December. When people went on long vacation, we had no long vacation. In December, you have 2 weeks breaks and return back. And continues from January to December. Alright? So, one of my roommate, who was also a medical student then, in the room in second year, he said to me, he said, is it Bible school you came or medical school? Because he saw me praying aggressively. He saw me studying aggressively. He saw me doing everything. Unfortunately, that guy repeated and later on was withdrawn. Unfortunately. I was in both Bible school and medical school. When we moved to another hostel, later on, people will go to a particular place overnight to pray over, to study overnight till morning before returning back to the hostel to bath and go to class. I was not able to follow that schedule for one reason. Where will I do my quiet time? When it is time to pray in the morning, is it at that reading place I will be praying where others are reading? So I had my schedule. So the critical thing was that my relationship with God was superior to the course I was studying. And I am not doing this to make anybody relax, because I read very well and I studied very well and I prayed very well. You see, so when God is not your priority, anything is an excuse not to pray, not to study, not to worship. I'll give you two examples of people in whose lives God was never a priority. Number one, Esau. In the life of Esau, you will never find one place where Esau raised an altar. I think I've jumped to something else. Right. I'll come back to that later. Now, so the spiritual life must be our priority. Genesis 19:27. The spiritual was Abraham's priority, so he was prayerful. So Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and Abraham prayed. The spiritual was Abraham's priority. Secondly, the spiritual was David's priority. Psalm 27 and in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. He says, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The spiritual was Abraham's priority. It was David's priority. And what did David do? Psalm 55 verse 17. He says, 3 times in a day, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray, or will I pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The spiritual was David's priority. Thirdly, the spiritual was Daniel's priority. So he was prayerful. Daniel chapter 6 verse 5. They said they could not find anything. Now, they say this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So that they knew that if you wanted to look for Daniel's trouble, look for his trouble around his relationship with God, then you will find that trouble. And in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, when the decree was sealed, Daniel went with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did before time. Those three people, the spiritual was their priority. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Every man's activity is a product of his priorities. Everybody. If you show me your activities, I can tell you your priorities. It doesn't happen by chance. It does not happen by chance. And my counsel is twofold. Or threefold. Number one, seek God first in all that you do. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and it shall direct your paths. I'm about to step into marriage. I'm about to step into a new job. I'm about to step into a new business. Lord, this is yours. I don't know how to do it. I cannot do it on my own. Seek God first in all that you do. Number two, speak to God first every waking day of your life. Let God be the first person you speak to as much as it lieth in your power. Abraham got up early in the morning. Genesis 19:27. Let God be the first voice you speak. Let God be the first person to hear your voice, and if possible, be the first voice you hear. Many times you wake up and the first thing you do is to read a text message or a WhatsApp message that dampens the whole of your day, that scatters your whole day. Impossible. That is, even if it is, as soon as you wake up, Father, thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There are things that are appearing very urgent. Let them wait. Thirdly, what are the three things I have said so far? Please look on the screen. Seek God first in all that you do. Number two, speak to God first every waking day of your life. Number three, make the bread of life your first meal every day. The bread of life, the word of God, make it your first meal every day. We are identifying how to place, how to make God your priority. Make it your first meal every day. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Job 23:12, I have esteemed the word, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Let a verse of scripture enter your spirit before do not enter your mouth. Scriptural. Some people wake up in the morning straight to the fridge. As if they dreamt of food, or they have a covenant with food. For donkey years, my wife is aware. I don't have the confidence to put food in the mouth until scripture has entered the ears or entered the heart. That is why our results are different in life, because our priorities are different. They are different. Somebody say loud, amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace. I receive the grace. I receive the grace. I receive the grace to make you my life's priority. In Jesus' precious name. My time is up from the time I said, because we want to pray, but let me add the final thing this evening. What are the hindrances or the enemies of the life of prayer? Number one was the guilt of sin. Number two, the spirit of discouragement. Number three, lack of value for the spiritual, lack of spiritual priorities. Number four, the pressures and distractions of life. The pressures and distractions of life. Precious. That is, many people are too busy attending to the pressures and distractions of life to the point where they have no time for prayer. Say, I'm so busy these days. And it is a major error, because the spiritual sets the pace for the physical. It's a major, major error. So I'm coming to the two examples I told you about. Number one, Esau.
Esau had no prayer altar, no prayer life, because he was a busy hunter, among other things. He had no sense of value for God, but he was a busy hunter. Genesis 25 verse 27, the Bible said, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. He's everywhere. But Jacob was a man of the tent, man of the tent, man of the closet. So if you study the life of Esau and study the life of Jacob, you are going to see Jacob erected an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. Jacob built an altar. Jacob built an altar. Jacob built an altar. But Esau had not a time for even one altar. Esau was roaming about the fields, everywhere, hunting where there was no need. Because he had his father, who, I mean, was a serious animal farmer. Oh. And Esau ended disastrously because he was up and down everywhere, just roaming up and down. The pressures and the distractions of life ended disastrously. Second example was Samson. Samson had no prayer altar, no prayer life. He was busy. Busy chasing the Philistines or chasing the prostitutes. But he was chasing something. Judges chapter 16 verse 1 to verse 3. We saw the life of Samson. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gaza is saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight. See the kind of pressure he was in. Arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. That was the kind of life he lived. And at the end of the day, he ended as a disaster. Question I want to ask somebody here is, what is the kind of pressure that is taking you away from God? That is taking you away from your spiritual life? Some people, it's the pressure of relationship, the pressure of friendship. Particular friends and relationships that put you under so much pressure. Some people, it's the pressure of society to belong. All manner of events. This ceremony here, that ceremony there, burial here, this one there. And you feel obligated to be everywhere. I hear what I'm saying. You feel under obligation to be everywhere. Somebody is the chase, is the pursuit of money here and there that made you not to have time for God. I want you to know two things. One, the strength to handle your destiny is found in the presence of God. The presence of God. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before the Lord. Psalm 84 verse 7. The strength to handle your destiny is connected, is located in the presence of God. Otherwise, the time comes when you will run out of energy, you will run out of strength, you will run out of capacity. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. So, no matter how busy you are, never be too busy for the source of your strength. Never be too busy for the maker. What, where is the car going if it is too much in a hurry for the filling station? I'd like you to answer that question. Where is the car? Okay, the driver is in a hurry. He has no time to branch filling station.
very soon the car will show him. The car will soon show him that he cannot move on his own. He will soon, the journey will soon be arrested. Journey over. So why did he do branch Felix? I was too much in a hurry. I needed to catch that ceremony. Ceremony saying, "Now me catch you." I catch you. The strength to handle your future is located in the presence of God. Number two thing. So the meaning of that is, take time to deliberately acquire strength at the place of prayer in the presence of God to tackle your future. If you think that going from place nation to nation, the kind of crusade that you will do, if you think that going from nation to nation is easy, I would like you to take 1 week holiday and just come on the trip once. Then you will understand the energy demand. Some people who came for a certain program with us, some were admitted in the hospital, right? All right. There were others who said, somebody said, they came back from the program, I think it's a week program. I think they required like 3 weeks to rest. He said, is it how this thing is? Is this how this thing is? And these people are moving like this. It is the strength that you continually acquire from God. It's tougher than military strength. Am I communicating? So, the strength to handle the future is in the presence of God. Number two, the spiritual is the foundation for the natural and material. The spiritual. Anything you want to build in this life, build it on the spiritual. Build your marriage on the spiritual. Build your business on the spiritual. Build your career on the spiritual. You say, what about some of the billionaires, you know, in the world who don't go to church? They go somewhere. They are connected somewhere. They are tied somewhere. They are in a certain realm somewhere. You don't. There is a level of glory you don't access in this world until you bow for something. Did you hear when Satan told Jesus, I will give you this world and all his glories, only bow for me. Only bow for me. Only bow for me. Bow. There are people who have bowed for something. World class music people in the secular. Some certain people you hear here and there say, oh no, they are just doing well, but they don't go to church. They go somewhere. They are tied somewhere. They are connected somewhere. They have bowed for something for glory. So that you don't use other people to assess your own life. There is something they have built themselves on. There is something they have tied themselves to. There is something they have allegiance to. You will make it. The Lord will help us. So determine to build. Don't build your life on nothing. Build your life on solid spiritual foundations. Build your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your spiritual career, political career, and every career of your life, build it on something. I know of a businessman, member of this church, who will not do any business until he has prayed for 3 hours every Monday. Morning till about 10. Before he steps out for the week, he had to settle the week before going. And then doors open and things happen. Am I communicating at all? It's a new day for you. Don't let the enemies, these enemies, to fight your destiny. You will succeed. Stand on your feet with a loudest shout of amen.
Loud more shout of amen. A louder shout of amen. Loudest shout of amen.
Somebody bless, say amen. Somebody bless, say amen. I counsel that you avoid the enemies of prayer and make demands on the spirit of grace and supplication. Make demands on the spirit. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 said, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Father, grace and supplication, capacity to pray without tiredness, I receive in the name of Jesus. That's all the counsel. The spirit of grace. Avoid the enemies of your prayer life. Then make demands on the spirit of grace and supplication. Would you lift up your hands? We're going to do some level of irrigation this evening. You lift up your hands at this moment and appreciate God for his word to you. Honor him and adore him. Adore him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. A voice and say, Father.
Father,
for the next 1 minute, pray and say, Father,
Father,
I come before you today,
to
receive
and connect
with the spirit
of grace
and supplication.
I receive the baptism
of the spirit of grace
and supplication
today
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray.
Open your mouth and pray.
Baptism of grace and supplication. 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 In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please go through the message you received today. Once God has spoken and twice have I heard that power belongs unto God. We heard that the guilt of sin will affect our prayer life. We heard that the spirit of discouragement will affect our prayer life. The lack of value for the spiritual, lack of spiritual priorities will affect our prayer life. And the pressures and distractions of life will affect us. May God give us the grace to avoid all of this in Jesus' name. Everywhere you are tonight in need of surrender to Jesus, you are in need of forgiveness for your sins, you heard these prayers and this preaching, and you feel like you need to make your way right because the guilt of sin was number one to hinder our prayers, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, forgiveness of sins. Pray after me. Lord Jesus. Say it. Lord Jesus. I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus, and no turning back. Forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name, amen.